Autobots, transform and roll out.
Yes. Yes, the clap. You gave us the clap in the hole of this mega robot where we all become the men and robot women we truly are. I know that in general, a clear soda is no caffeine, but I assure you that that Diet Mountain Dew has more caffeine than your Diet Coke ever did. She stopped drinking it after that. Now she's on Perrier. It's fine. We're fine.
Hot Rod says this is getting expensive because they're running out of treats. Cup says, don't worry, they'll reciprocate. And they do not reciprocate. Hot Rod says, all gone, no more. And then they grab, the Crockbots grab Cup and Hot Rod and take them away.
But they're still chanting, Ba Weep Grana, Weep Mini Bong. Yeah.
Even after like throwing them in the cell later, they're still sort of chanting it in the background.
Oh, okay. So here's my notes have another question. If your pet, because they turn into like crocodile things, right? Okay, so what would you have your pet turn into? Like the little cassette player guys, like the complimentary double transformer guys. What would your pet turn into and what would they be? What?
Like my current pet?
You can pick any pet. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to pick Pitch because she is my cat.
Have you ever seen the Gamera movies?
Yeah, the floating turtle that fires out of like its legs and stuff. Yeah,
he would turn into something that could fly on his own. So if he wanted to, he could leave. But like Calcifer in Hell's Moving Castle, I like to imagine he would come back because it started to rain.
Oh, he wouldn't mind if it rained.
Yeah, he wouldn't because he's a water turtle.
Yeah, but it might be too hot outside.
Yeah, he'd come back because it got too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like my dog Tyrion to turn into a monitor lizard.
Just like a monitor for a computer?
No, like in the lizard, because he's really hot, and sometimes you just want to cuddle with something, and lizards are kind of cold and don't move, and you can just sort of sit there and like walk around with like this lizard on your neck. So, and then I'd have my dog back later.
Oh yeah.
So just two pets for the price of one.
Turn into a different pet. That's
pretty awesome.
Okay,
Jen.
Pitch would just say, "I want to still be me, but bigger."
Okay, that is correct. But a more correct answer is she would turn into a coffee pot.
Aw.
That's cute and useful.
Mm-hmm.
Should be like, your brew is ready.
Do we, before we get into the trials, do we hop back to the other Autobots on Planet of Junk?
Yes, because we have a rhyming robot, right?
My notes go tentacles, multi-face shark, go knots.
Well, because Hot Rod and Cup end up getting thrown into the jail. After they see robots getting
a trial in which everyone is declared innocent by a three or four headed judge that sort of rotates, sort of like a what was it like? Is it Triclops from He-Man that has got like the rotating heads, or was that Neverending Story Part 2 with the guy with the heads that rotated?
It's a common trope. Yeah. Maybe after this, because it's also in Adventure Time.
Yeah. And so they declare everybody innocent and then drop them into a pit full of Sharktacons.
And then they get thrown into prison, and one of the doctors from the very first scene is getting like
one of the bearded guys.
Yeah, is getting like dragged out of the adjoint the next jail cell.
Yeah, he's like, Unicron destroyed my world.
It would destroy this one too.
Yeah, and then they observe the whole innocent trial situation where the guy dies.
When do we get to the Dinobots and Wheelie?
Now it goes, high-pitched rhymer, easiest party increase ever.
So the Dinobots are also on the same planet as Hot Rod and Cup, only they ended up in a different area. We're not exactly sure what happened. They just sort of are walking around, calling each other what? They call each other cesium, salami, and...
Beridium, baloney.
Beryllium, baloney.
Because... Tyrannobot pushes Tricerabot out of the way from a pit he almost falls in. And then this microbot shows up. Is he a microbot? I hate that I know that.
He's just a kid.
Oh, he's a child?
Yeah. Really?
So we have a second child?
Well, yeah, he becomes best friends with Daniel in the series.
Gross.
In the same way that Spike was really good friends with Bumblebee.
Oh. Okay, that's more acceptable, but it's weird. Because I don't know how long-lived robots are, but I don't know.
He's a child robot. It's
yeah,
really...
we don't know. We don't know how long... How old is he? Seven? Is he like 10, like Danny? Is Danny 45 and he just looks small?
That's not important. What is important?
Yeah, we're two and a half hours in.
Shut up.
A movie that is like been over an hour ago.
Okay.
The important thing is that Grimlock like latches on to Wheelie and Wheelie latches on to Grimlock. And I'm like, Grimlock, you're better than this.
He's like, well, he tries to bap him because he's rude. He's rude.
Oh, yeah.
And then he, the little guy, uses a slingshot of all things to like bap him. And then he's just like, I'll take you to your friends if I get a ride on the ship with you. And Grimlock's like,
okay.
Me, Grimlock, say we on our way.
Yep.
Hate it. I hate it. Hate it.
Yeah, but for a kid?
Yeah, it's fine. I want a tiny friend who speaks too high-pitched.
Yeah, no one's going to get the From Mice to Men reference anyway. They just think Grimlock's funny because he talks in the third person.
Hate it. I had forgotten about that.
All of them.
I live
the
here
Dinobots
just to remind
do.
You.
All the Dinobots do talk in the third person. Me, Swoop, no see nothing. And... me Grimlock, no bozo, me Grimlock King. So.
Oh, the boy can transform now too, my notes say. I didn't realize that his outfit changed.
So Galvatron like gets summoned by Unicron, and Unicron's like, the Matrix isn't destroyed. You have to go back and redo your job. And he's just like, crap. But he's bad at leadering, but he's really good at travel. Because, like, literally it goes from that scene to him going over to where Ultra Magnus is.
The planet junk again.
You had one job.
Yeah, and so to go back to Naomi Singh, here we find out that the exosuit that Dan's in can turn into a transformer and turn him into, like, a little, like,
car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is Dan intact?
Yeah. No, okay. He's, like, driving. He's, like, you know, just kind of like a little bat pod.
Okay.
On his stomach.
Yeah, sure. It looks a lot like a Batmobile in the terms of sleekness. He's like on his hands, like steering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Ultra Magnus gets cornered by Galvatron, and he tries to use the Matrix, but he can't. And Galvatron takes that as an opportunity to essentially destroy Ultra Magnus and take the Matrix.
Cool. Yeah. Sean fact here. Apparently the original plan was to have Ultra Magnus be held by the four Swoops. And they were going to hold him with laser whips and pull in four different cardinal directions and pop Ultra Magnus like a metal grape. Just go boop.
Like draw and quarter him style?
Yeah.
Yep. But it was deemed to be too difficult to watch. So they just had him killed by one shot by Graviton. But if you look back, you'll see that some of the Swoops, their laser beams don't actually stop. They're full on because they're supposed to be still the whips.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut that scene out.
We had dismemberment of Cup earlier, so apparently two limbs is fine, but four limbs is a bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
It also doesn't pay to be a robot truck in this movie.
No, it does not.
But explains why later on he's assembled in different parts.
No.
I thought I saw him just like on a heap on the ground, but...
Yeah, this is
actually separated. Makes a lot of more sense now.
This is done like Cloud City, Chewbacca, and 3PO.
Yeah. So is this the fight sequence that has my favorite song from the movie?
Yes, it does.
So I'm sitting here. We're in the movie theater watching it with Jen. And all of a sudden I hear this beat. I'm like, I know this song. I know this song. And I'm like, and right in the middle of this theater, I go, Dare to Be Stupid. Yeah. Dare to Be Stupid. It's Weird Al Yankovic's Dare to Be Stupid. Like, as the background for a battle sequence, it's actually pretty cool. I love it.
So the people battling now are not the people we've been previously talking about.
No.
Now it's the minions of Junk. Junk? Oh, no. Equestrafield.
Junkions.
Junkions. They're fighting with the Autobots against the Decepticons.
Fantastic. Oh, I guess it is a continuation.
Did you guys ever see they had a Weird Al documentary, like, I don't know, like 20 years ago? Not the movie that was with Daniel Radcliffe that just came out, which is amazing, by the way. But it was like this documentary, and they talked to Mark Mothersbaugh, who is the lead singer, writer for the band Devo. And it's this great little interview where he says that he should have wrote Dare to Be Stupid because it's the greatest new wave techno song of all time. And he's really disappointed that he didn't write it. And he's really mad at Weird Al. And he's like, that guy.
If you see the video, he and some others, Weird Al and some others, dress up as Devo.
Yeah, it's a very much, I used to say Weird Al did, he did parodies straight up, where you take someone else's song and then put lyrics on it. But then every once in a while, he'll do a song in the style of. It's like one of his last albums had a song in the style of Nine Inch Nails. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is amazing. But yeah, I think Dare to Be Stupid is in the style of Devo, but not an actual Devo song, which is why he was Mark Mothersbaugh was like, no, I should have wrote that song. It's the best song.
Okay, so the Decepticons are beat back, right? And then
they get away with the Matrix.
Yes.
And then we shoot over back to Hot Rod and Cup, and I think their trial begins.
Oh, right now my notes go, the hell is that ship? Because there's this disky looking ship that then like grinds itself into the ground.
That's further down.
Yeah, I think I think I skipped over because we go back to the trial first, because that ship is from the trial, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we go back to the trial. Cup and Hot Rod are declared innocent and then thrown into the pool.
Those Sharktacons look gnarly, by the way. Like, you could put them onto a metal album cover and I would be like, yeah, that fits.
They do. They could be in any kind of, what's that sexy metal cartoon movie from a million years ago?
Heavy metal?
Yeah. I feel like they could fit in heavy metal pretty good.
Yeah. I was going to say Aeon Flux, but heavy metal is probably
a little
bit better.
They would fit in Aeon Flux too.
Yeah. And so they get thrown into this pit with all these Sharktacons. They get out of the watery pit, but the Sharktacons are land sharks as well, which is terrifying. And they're still fighting them off. And then who comes to the rescue?
But the Dinobots.
And
they make really short work of those guys. But then, as much as I might rail against the Dinobots, they do turn to diplomacy.
Yeah. The Sharktacons are like, you're stopped. And the Dinobots are like, why are you angry at us? Be angry at them. And
they en masse, like, turn into like one of those ant ladders and go straight up the walls of the pit. Mm-hmm. And you just see all of the guys run away from the trial, the tentacle guy and like the multi head guy.
The Quintessons. Quintessons. Yeah. So the Sharktacons turn on the Quintessons.
Wheelie is kind of this devil on Grimlock's shoulder in a little way. Yes. And when Naomi had mentioned that, I automatically went to this channel. You can't watch the actual all of the episodes, but there's a YouTube channel called Game Changer, and they have this other side channel called Game Changer Shorts, and it's just these, like, you bring people on to do improv for like a game show type thing, and they have this one where if you go to YouTube and search Game Changer Deviled Egg, then you will have this like improv moment where there's a guy and he's got an angel on one side and a devil on the other. And the angel's like, you know what? You got all this money, but you don't need to buy it on a new car. And then the devil on his shoulder is saying, there's a deviled egg on that windowsill and you should totally eat it right now. And it's just this whole conversation about whether you should eat a deviled egg that's been sitting out in the sun. And then there's a surprise at the very end.
That is?
There's a second deviled egg. If anybody who's listening knows who Brennan Lee Mulligan is.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
Yeah, he's the devil on the shoulder. And so that's why it just is so beautiful.
Okay,
so,
that's amazing. Okay, so then can we have that weird ship moment?
They leave on the spirally weird.
Okay, yeah. It's like half cucumber, half freaking avant-garde sculpture of metal discs. It doesn't make any sense.
If Chihuly built a spaceship.
Yes. But he wanted to make it oddly sexual with like a downward part.
We went to the Glass Museum in Tacoma like literally New Year's Eve. So yes, it is going to be sexual.
Yeah. But the way it lands when the two parties meet back up with absolutely no gap between space travel.
Or any knowledge of where they were. Like, how did they know? Oh, they're at the junk planet.
Fantastic.
Nope. Just going to show up.
The thing flies in horizontal, becomes vertical, and then grinds itself into the ground before extending its landing gear. Its landing legs, really. It makes no sense.
So it goes into the ground.
Yes.
And then the landing gear pop up and then pops
like,
down and then
yeah,
pops up.
Like,
that's where the logic of this movie breaks down for you.
That's where the science breaks down.
That's where the science breaks down is the flight, not like sentient robots that transform, but landing spiral ships.
So Hot Rod walks out of the ship and he's like, what's that thing that you say, Cup? And Cup's about to say something. He goes, oh, no, I remember because you're a robot. Of course you remember. And he goes, we've mini bond. And he like holds up his little Energon tablet, which, you know, we could make like if we ever marketed it, we could have like those Listerine strips, but they're pink. That could be an Energon thing. They can be caffeinated. So like you could really like fuck some shit up with that. And okay. My notes then say, and dancing.
Dare to be stupid. Da 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 da. Dare to be stupid.
It was a nice, good relief after a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of action to just have a lighthearted moment before everybody's like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to kill Unicron.
Okay. So my notes then say, Unicron transforms? But then are immediately followed by Taco Bell ordering gap because I went to order Taco Bell and I didn't observe the next portion of the movie. So what happens? So he starts to transform.
Unicron?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a magical transformation.
Because the reason he's doing that is because Galvatron has returned to Unicron
with the Matrix.
Yeah. And he's
like, as opposed to destroying it, he now has it.
Yeah, and he's using this as a bargaining chip to say, like, now I'm in power, and Unicron decides to show his real face, not the butt face, but...
So the opposite. He just turns 180 degrees, because he's essentially an orb with butt and with butthole and horns on one side.
If you've got 20 minutes free, go on the YouTubes and search for Unicron toy transformation. It really takes 20 minutes for them to transform it. It is huge. It's at least 4 feet tall. And you have to pull out all of these different discs and stuff and then rearrange and click things into place.
I will let you buy almost anything, honey. Almost anything. And this lands squarely in the almost category.
You know what's great about my generation and having Transformers is that I can watch, like, one of my favorite things about the toys was the transformation. I wanted to know how they transform. Now I can just go on YouTube and figure out how they transform. I'm like, okay, that was great. I'm not going to play with this toy ever, so I don't need to buy it. So I saved a lot of money because of YouTube.
Thanks, YouTube.
Jen, did you say that it takes Unicron, the toy, 20 minutes to transform? I don't want to hear anyone bitch about the Magic Girl transformations in Sailor Moon taking like so much time that they could have gone ahead and, you know, like, you know, the bad guys could have like, you know, hurt someone or gotten away in that time. Do you know how much grief as a Sailor Moon fan got in the late 90s, early aughts because of that transformation? It was metaphorical, people. Unicron took 20 minutes. I don't want to hear shit. I don't want to hear it ever again.
Okay, so once upon a time, I watched all through of Supernatural by myself. And now Jen is watching it through with me. And there's this shapeshifter episode in the first season. It's like 6 or 7 or something. And they don't need to give this level of detail, but they do show him shifting at one point because they could have just left it with, and there's a pile of the goo he must schluff off, mm-hmm. which is like my favorite word to describe schluffing. Anyways, they go through a scene where he peels himself and it takes a minute, maybe a minute and a half of a 40-minute show watching him just peel himself and his teeth push out his other teeth. It is graphic and disturbing and wholly unnecessary. And so I love it. But I only watch it like the once. I'm never going to go back specifically to watch that. I'm only doing it for the completionist of making Jen watch all of them.
Mm-hmm. I like the transformation scene in Spaceballs where Spaceball 1 turns into Mega Maid.
Yeah. Where it goes from suck
to blow.
Did you want me to say that along with you and I missed it?
No, it's okay.
To blow.
So does Unicron go from suck to blow?
Really does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens next? Because my notes start with this kid is always in danger.
Before, who's always in danger?
The kid.
Oh, Daniel. Yeah, but before then, so Unicron is transformed and he swallows Galvatron so that he will not be a nuisance anymore. Although I've, you know, swallowed things that have certainly been a nuisance afterward.
Same girl, same.
And he then decides that this is his moment and he says, there would have been a time when I would have considered sparing Cybertron and all of its people, but now you will be witness to its dismemberment. And he's going off to Cybertron and he's going to take it down. And then I think before he gets to the planet, we get back to the Autobots, maybe.
Well, I think I have missed where they are from their ship, I assume, to how they get to and eventually into. I know they go through his eye, but like how do they get to Unicron?
So they're going to Cybertron. They're on a mission to regroup at Cybertron. And when they get to Cybertron, they find Unicron already there, and he's tearing into the planet like a giant
as his robot.
As a robot, a planet-sized robot is attacking a planet
made of robots.
Like just punching a beach ball. Is that what it is? Like a giant oversized beach ball. He's just like wailing on it.
It's like when you have two balloons at a birthday party and you throw one up in the air and then there's another one that's thrown up in the air and then they like hit each other and then they fall down.
And Hot Rod asks Cup if he's ever seen anything like this. And Cup says, no, there is no story that I have that relates back to this.
He's everywhere reminds him of somewhere because he's been through so much.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
In the comics, Cybertron is a transforming robot as well, not just a planet of robots. So he's Cybertron is inhabited by, or is a new name for an older robot called Primus, just like the band. And Unicron and Primus are like these beginning of the universe entities on the light and the dark side. And so it's not just that in theory, at least if you like read the overarching story that involves the comics and not just the cartoons, because in the cartoons, the Quintessons are actually the creators of the Transformers. In the comics, Primus he's Cybertron, and then everybody's born off of Primus. So I mention all of that because Unicron going after this specific planet is not like him going after all of the other planets before. This is supposed to be like the end all be all. This is him completing his destiny, which is what he mentions at the end of the movie. Okay?
Okay. This is also like the last battle of the film. So we're getting towards the very end.
Yeah, I too also forget, how did they get the ship inside of Unicron? Did they fly through his eyeball?
They do. They have to crash through his eyeball. I just didn't know they did it in the ship.
Eyeball? I thought we were calling it an anus.
Well, it's his face. Really, the eyeball is the anus of the face.
The fanus, if you will.
They're like the Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad with the javelin, and they're just going barrel through into Starro's eye.
Yeah.
They go in one eye and out the other.
So now they're inside of Unicron.
Yes.
And this leads to Naomi's least favorite scene, where you see a conveyor belt of...
It's not my least favorite scene.
So like before we get to the conveyor belt of doom, that is my least favorite. I have a note, and this is only going to make sense to people who have watched The Owl House. So if you haven't watched The Owl House, you can just tune out.
I know it's so good, but I just haven't got there yet.
Not until you get to the very end, because like Bob Chapek totally screwed over the last season. There didn't have to be a last season, but he totally screwed it over, and now they're only getting like three episodes that are like 45 minutes long. It's bullshit, and I think it's part of the reason why Bob Chapek isn't working for Disney anymore and Bob Iger took over. Anyways, not the point. Hot Rod enters Unicron's bowels and finds the Matrix. It kind of is reminiscent of King from the Owl House finding Kikimora in Bello's trash pit, where there's also the Collector. Nobody's going to understand any of those unless they've watched the...
There's probably one or two listeners.
I hope.
Who's going to get it?
I really hope
and
so.
I'm going to watch the Owl House.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, oh, that's like the Transformers. Yeah, but essentially Hot Rod enters into Unicron's bowels and he sees like Megatron just like die, like essentially like...
He's like stuck to a wall. A magnet almost. And he's like, it's no use. You cannot open it. And then he says...
Not by a Decepticon.
Mm-hmm. And Hot Rod gets the Matrix and everything. And he has this, like, he has his own magical girl transformation. And
he turns into Rodimus Prime. That is...
Oh, is that?
Rodimus Prime, yeah.
If that's not the name of some guy's...
I don't know what is. God, do we bleep?
It'd be like a porn. Yeah. A porn name, you know, Rodimus
is.
Prime and the 100%. Decepticons.
Normally, I don't let men presenting persons use that word, but that was really good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to allow it. Yeah. But if you want to hear Sean say it, then you have to pay us $1 a month and go to our Patreon page.
I am so sorry. That was
that was good, though. That was really
That's on the internet now, Sean. That's forever. You'll never be able to run for political office now, Sean.
Oh.
I'm going to send a link to all of your buddies and your special clubs.
Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you. I love you so much.
But after Rodimus Prime emerges...
I can't.
After he grows in size by two times.
He starts glowing and becomes so much more present in the scene.
Then we get...
Don't worry, we're almost to the climax of the film.
Rodimus Prime and the Planet of Junk.
Which is what I call people's junk!
The climax of the film.
So after...
Don't worry, Sean. We do have a cool down period. We do walk ourselves back out. It's
a refractory period, yeah.
Oh, no, it's an aftercare is what the people in the community call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aftercare.
So after Rodimus Prime emerges, that's when we get the conveyor belt to the lava pit of doom. And it is literally like all of these Autobots and Decepticons are just like getting moved into this lava pit.
It's a conveyor belt. It's a factory belt,
right,
situation.
And they get they get moved over to this pit. Then they get dropped in and you see them suffering in agony. Because they are getting melted down.
Is it melted or acid or something?
So I attribute it, because they're robots. Mm-hmm. I attribute it to their metals and their beings are just getting like dissolved. And because Unicron is like consuming, they're getting consumed and melted down.
Yes, yeah. you're not wrong. Okay, so this Terminator death that they suffer, right?
Yeah, this unwilling Terminator death, because... Okay.
This is what hurts my brain. Who programs pain into a robot? What cruel act of man or God or quintessons are like, yes, these unstoppable fighting machines who are capable of thought and expression and creating, I'm sure, works of art and such, who is like, you know what they need? The pain of life to give contrast and need and understanding. Like, it just, it's a philosophical minefield that would. And stepping onto that minefield would blow up a bunch of Autobots and Decepticons and cause them literal pain.
I agree with you. Like, what is the point of like programming it in? So there's this idea that I have when it comes to intelligence that essentially is like, so animals have a level of intelligence that we can't really comprehend, but is it equal to the amount of intelligence that we have? Because we can build houses and societies and we can convey stories to previous generations. Yeah. Like, animals do not build monuments the way that humans build monuments.
But according to Jen's incredible intelligence geared towards this series, there is a history here that extends far beyond Spike's childhood.
Right.
In seasons 1 and 2.
Right. So is this a form of intelligence that's based off of some sort of evolution? Or is it something where they are fully programmed? Is it like they're programmed through will? Is it like a natural evolution, or are they programmed by will? Because if they're programmed by will, then I'm totally on board with you. Why program someone to feel physical pain? Because that seems like, not unless there is reason, if you are going to program something to exist, would they need to have pain in order to not go crazy?
I don't think it's necessarily to go crazy, but if something is without pain and is nearly unstoppable, you are creating an indomitable force that would take over the universe without qualm,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, probably what Unicron is supposed to be. But he felt pain.
He felt pain.
Suck it, Unicron.
So who do we see?
Did the Evanescence create Unicron too?
Evanescence?
The what? The Matrix?
The Quintessence.
Oh, the Quintessons? No. So those are, it's two different diverging origin stories. In the cartoons.
Oh, they're not even the same species?
Yeah, the Autobots and Decepticons were all just one species on Cybertron, and they were all worker droids, basically without any will in them. And then,
well, what's that thing that the guy says? The I am robot guy, the event, the what's it called? It's the, there's a special word for it. It's where you gain consciousness.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's singularity.
The singularity. So they have a singularity moment.
Yeah, and it's actually led by Megatron. Megatron and the Decepticons, before they were called Decepticons, I think, were a group that broke their own programming and were actually sort of evil. Like, they were out to dominate the worker droids. And some broke off from that and decided that somehow they got free will and didn't want to be under Megatron. And so that became the Autobot faction. The Decepticons actually came before the Autobots.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that Optimus Prime, if he's one of these guys, he's the hot underground guy from Demolition Man. Just agree with me.
Okay, sure, but he's not.
We have to move on. We've been recording forever.
Yeah, I can't remember his name now. So there is a robot that stands up against Megatron. Megatron almost gets him killed, almost totally. And then that robot receives the Matrix of Leadership and becomes Optimus Prime, and then becomes the Autobot faction Rebel Alliance leader. So Megatron is like eons older than Optimus Prime is.
Oh.
None of that really matters for this movie.
what does matter is that the conveyor belt is carrying Bumblebee and Spike to their deaths.
Which ones do we see die? Do you know who they are? They're just nameless.
Random, nameless. Oh.
I totally thought one of them was Ratchet.
Maybe Jazz.
I wrote it down as Ratchet, but it's not.
No, Ratchet gets shot in like the first 2 seconds of the movie.
Well, then it doesn't matter. It could have been Ratchet.
But I hear lots of almost Wilhelm screams as the robots are falling in.
Spike sees Daniel, and he's all like, "Dad!" And he's all like, "Close the cover of the vent!" And he's all like, "I don't have anything to do that with!" And he's all like, "Use your suit, son! I love you so much! This is the humanest moment in the entire film!" And he's all like, "All right, I will, Dad!" And then his suit shoots, and I think it's clever, because I thought he was going to have to like push it over, but actually it's held up with a hydraulic, and he shoots a hydraulic, which then crushes and closes half of the vat, but luckily it's half of the vat that they're hanging over, and he's all like, he turns because it's not all the way closed, and he saw them all fall, and he's all like, for the 18th time we see him turn to camera with like tears in his eyes because he's a small weepy boy, the sad little boy that all sat in the theater knowing that they were gonna have to buy every single one of the toys of this so that they could recreate in their mind a scene where this didn't happen.
Daniel is all of the boys who saw their first father figure die.
And then almost lost their real dad. Mm-hmm. And then it's really short lived. Then Spike's like, "Hey!" And he's like, "Ah!"
the lava pit of doom was more terrifying for me than Optimus dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to melt. No, none of us wants to melt.
Right. Like, do you know what happens to you if you fall onto lava?
You burn like a hot dog.
You burn like a hot dog. You don't actually melt. Not right away. You probably suffocate before you actually melt into the lava. But like,
I bet it smells like hot dogs too.
Maybe. But like, when you look into the science of like lava, like what happened to Gollum in Lord of the Rings did not. It's not actually what would happen. You're not. It's liquidy, but because it's so dense, you could actually walk on it for a little bit before you would melt into it. So there's always the possibility that if you start running, you might be able to get to a hot rock side of a lava pit, and then you'd probably
and die there.
And die there.
Where you would continue to cook like a hot dog.
Okay.
So where are we now? In the terms of the
Transformers,
Hot Rod's got the touch. Hot Rod's got the power.
So he holds it up. The thing crickety crackles, right? And now they get crickety crackle, and then there's like this kind of informal countdown. So he's all like, "Transform." Oh, you want to say it, honey? Say it. You like to say it.
Oh, just Autobots roll, transform and roll out?
Yeah. Say, but like, you got to say it like you got passion.
Like how, Judd Nelson, like he has a different vibrato in his voice at this time. He's been sort of a teenager hot rod, and now he's got this deeper.
He hit puberty in like in 5 the asshole of this fucking giant. And now he's got a deep, dank voice.
Autobots, transform and roll out. And then
Naomi just dropped her notebook.
Sorry.
You want me to say it more sexy? No.
Jen, you can't say anything more sexy than you say things. But go ahead, do it anyway. Now that I'm not laughing and dropping.
Autobots, transform and roll out. Not any sexier.
No, I think okay. That one was a little like...
Okay. All right, so within...
I was like, not...
Hey, Sean, you know we're in the room too?
So do it like the dad from The Witch. Autobots, roll out.
Okay, I think RC should have said it, and she would have been like, transform and roll out. Except she has like a bit of a robot-y voice, so like, transform and roll out.
None of us actually get to do... Like, maybe when you're editing, maybe I could show you how to add a little bit of a robot reverb into parts of this.
Yeah.
But now you're the only one who hasn't said transform and roll out, so go ahead. You can say it dorky-like if you'd like. You don't have to try to be sexy about it. I mean, you naturally are, but, like, if you want to do, like, a... If you want to do a whatever the Eric Idle one is called.
Transform and roll out.
Oh, wow, I'm really on the spot here. Okay. Autobots, transform and... Roll out.
Yes. Yes, the clap. You gave us the clap in the asshole of this mega robot where we all become the men and robot women we truly are.
Fun gen fact. You're no longer allowed to say transform in universe.
Why?
Because it's now called convert. You convert instead of transform.
In the Transformers universe?
Why?
In the Transformers universe, transforming is, I mean, you no longer have an act to it. It is a name. It is a brand name of Transformers. And so they want to separate because when it's used as a verb, it's not attached to the property and anybody could say it. So if you're in the official Transformers universe, you're supposed to say Autobots convert and roll out.
Okay, so because of copyright, you cannot use the word transform, even though that is literally what they're doing.
And
you have to use
their literal name.
You have to say convert, as in I'm going to convert this entire tribe of indigenous people who don't want their spirituality to be sucked into my Christian being.
There's a video online of Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes playing with the auto-converting Optimus Prime. And they say convert. Optimus Prime receives the command to convert, and then he transforms.
We live in a world where Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes can't play with Transformers and say the word transform. Let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
So they all shoot out through his eye.
And he like, Unicron starts like grabbing at his insides.
He's ripping his guts apart, which Orson Welles apparently loved.
Yeah. Jen, what did you say about Unicron? So while we were watching this, Jen, you had made a really fun comment. Do you remember what that comment was?
Oh, I don't. Why don't you tell me?
Unicron had the one chip challenge.
Oh, yes.
My nephew did the one chip challenge a month ago today. Yeah. It was so funny. He was so cocky about it. I know he thinks that I'm like a coward, but I've watched reviews of this year's chip and it looks miserable. And I was like, I don't want to do it.
He you asked him, what do you want to say to anybody who wants to do the one chip challenge? And he said, don't do it. So,
yeah.
I did it.
But you did it like last year, right?
I did it like 2 years ago, and it was miserable, and I would do it again for money.
but all these Patreon ideas.
But not for fun.
Okay.
You know, it's not fun, but for money, I'll debase myself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same girl, same.
It's very Cronenberg-esque how he just rips into himself and pulls himself apart to get these guys out of him.
So they cut to him like rolling around in space. Right. And he's all like, he says, this time
You cannot destroy my
destiny.
Yeah.
Orson Welles.
He just blew up.
It's like that moment in Monty Python where they're going into that cave and they're like, it's guys writing about the unspeakable horror. And then it goes,
Yeah, but you wouldn't stand there and write, if it got you.
Fun fact, Eric Idle was the one in that scene.
Yeah. Bringing it back to things we've reviewed before. Go listen to our
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, that's a good episode too.
Yeah. So war is over. Or is it? Because Unicron's head is floating in space somewhere.
Except we have to have the whole celebration part at the end where there's a little speech and I don't remember any of it.
Let this mark the end of the Cybertronian Wars as we progress towards a road of peace and prosperity.
And then they start chanting.
Till all are one.
Okay, so remember a few hours ago when I was just like, okay, there's a disturbing thing about the end of the movie and Unicron.
Right.
Unicron absorbing everything into himself and becoming bigger, bigger, badder, badder. And then their chant is until all are one.
Which is the last thing that Optimus Prime says.
Don't like it because it seems, and you know I'm this close to being a communist. If I didn't think people were selfish jerks, I'm more of a solid socialist, I suppose. I'm not very clear on all the terms, but, you know, communal living and working for and with each other seems like a priority of mine.
When you're looking at individualist versus communal societies, there are pros and cons to everything because as humans, we're never going to make anything entirely perfect. So you really need to have, like, if you have an individualistic society, you still need to take care of your community. And if you have a communal society, you still need to allow people the freedom to be an individual.
Yeah. And I think that's possible. And that's probably what the Autobots are all about.
Mm-hmm.
But if the machine world is as flawed as the human world, it do feel like it might be easier just to run us all through the same machine and squirt us out into spam cans.
Have you ever heard of America being the melting pot?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have heard America's the melting pot. But then I heard a retort to it saying, well, with a melting pot, you want all of the flavors kind of like get cooked down. Their flavors cooked.
They become they become homogenous.
Right. And someone had said generally a salad is the better term because like it allows flavors to kind of be themselves. And I'm like, but I don't always want salad. So why can't we just say that America's like the world's potluck? Everybody brings in their own food. And if you like it, then you like it and you have it on your plate. And if you don't like it, then you pass along and nobody's offended because it's like, I tried a little bit of it. I don't really like it, but I like this other stuff. And so I'm going to enjoy that, but I'm still going to let you have that. So it's like, America's like a potluck.
Feels more like a thrift store.
Right now it feels like a thrift store because inflation's going through the roof. But I mean, ideally, I mean, going back to food metaphors, which we're popular for, I like the idea of America being like a potluck.
Everybody, I like that too.
Brings
that's a
their
very,
own.
It's a beautiful thing. I think everybody, that's really gorgeous.
Everybody brings their own culture.
But still, until all are one is very unsettling.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
It sounds a little bit like
the Borg.
No,
assimilation.
No, the for the greater good.
Oh, the greater. Oh, that's why you said the greater good.
Yeah.
And for that, you could go check out our Hot Fuzz episode.
God bless it. We've done so many movies. We should really have a list.
You're such a big fan of murder.
Now I'm the only chick who works with a whole bunch of dudes, and I feel like the girl, the girl cop in that show.
Okay, so I have a few more Sean facts left over.
Oh, hold on. We did, before you say, and then it freeze frames, one of our classic freeze frame movies where you see Unicron's head floating off to be on another side of the planet. And then we see a beautiful cast list that goes on and on and on and interestingly lists every character that is played by one person. So it's the list of characters grouped by person that they're voiced by. And it's fascinating because Frank Welks kicks everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So a few last minute Sean facts. The second German dubbing was later produced for a cheap bargain bin DVD release. This version became infamous because of its amateurish voice acting, translation errors. Let's see. It was every line is a word-for-word translation of the original, regardless of whether or not it made sense in German or not. So, for example, Megatron's line of die Autobots became dead Autobots. Yeah. The credits at the end of the movie, Inferno isn't credited, but he's not in the movie at all. So that was a little bit of a weird thing.
Like a cutscene, maybe?
Maybe he was deleted. They also point that on subsequent releases, and according to the UK release, they had to add a postscript before the credits rolled saying Optimus Prime will be back because people were so upset. They brought him back because people were really upset. The last thing I have here, let's see. At the end of the movie, Cliffjumper and Blue Streak stopped appearing on the TV shows because they were both voiced by actor Casey Kasem of America's Top 40 and the guy who does Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. He had a falling out with them after an episode they aired about a fictional country called Carbamia. He was apparently of Lebanese descent and didn't agree with the way that they portrayed Middle Eastern people in that episode, and they just wrote him out and said thanks, goodbye.
Wow.
I did not think Transformers was going to be problematic in that way. Sure, a little sexist. Sure,
a little
reductive of the human experience, but I did not expect them to be like a little full, bit of right, like full on.
Like that, that seems full on racist at that point. Like, I mean,
Okay, I'm going to leave you on a nice one. This one says, in 2008, there was a reboot of this called Transformers Animated. In the series, Susan Blue, John Muschietta Jr., and Judd Nelson reprised their roles as RC, Blur, and Rodimus Prime. Weird Al also came back, and he did Wreck-Gar instead of Eric Idle. So Weird Al played Wreck-Gar in the animated series.
There's a new one on Paramount. I forget exactly what it's called. I watched the first couple episodes, and it's a generation after the wars, and like Megatron is actually like a good guy in this. It's kind of weird, but it's pretty cool. It's in they started doing like a 3D 2D look, like it was 3D animated but cel shaded, so that's what they're doing in this one. And
I thought it was pretty cool looking. The animated one before that, it was more stylized though. It didn't look like realistic at all, so I kind of like this new 2D 3D.
Mm-hmm. There's one called Transformers Prime that was a little bit, I think that one was more stylized, and I don't know. We're already approaching a pretty good time to wrap things up, so I don't want to get too far into the, hey, this is what happened on the cartoons.
If you really like this one, you can email us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com, and we can maybe address, we did some one-off with Lydia's suggestion that we do three episodes of Doom Patrol?
Two episodes of Doom Patrol.
Yeah, but like we could do some episodes of Transformers. We've got some experts. So if you'd like that, if that sounds like it would be interesting to you, or if you'd want to contact us about anything.
That actually sounds like that would be an amazing Patreon exclusive. So if people wanted to like pay money, you could put it behind the Patreon paywall, and you could listen to all of us talk about Transformers for hours upon hours. Right. I mean, I'm just saying, not to tell you a business plan or anything, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're at that time of the show.
For the shocked and applaud moments.
Yeah. What do you, you're not here all the time. What, that could change. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you want to start with?
I'm pretty shocked that they killed off Optimus Prime and Shockwave or Starscream and all of them. I was like, holy crap. but I was shocked and applauded when I found Weird Al was in this, because I love Weird Al. He doesn't get enough credit for the musical genius he is.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's very fair. Okay, so we're doing shocks and applause at the same time.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you want to go?
Yeah, mine are easy. Again, I'm piggybacking off of your shocked. All of the deaths, mostly because of how they were portrayed. They were very realistic. They were very intense. And I was not expecting to see that. I knew Optimus Prime died. I did not expect all these other ones to just get ganked. And my applaud moment is the character... I applaud the characters and how they're portrayed. I really like you get like even the villains, like even Wheelie, that little I'm just like so annoyed, but like I mean entertained, fully entertained. Mm-hmm. Like I mean you had texted I had asked if we were going to be watching it before the recording, and you were like, yeah, they're so rewatchable, and I agree with that. And part of that for me is the characters.
Do you want to go first or second? Since I picked it, I would generally go last, but
I want you to go.
Okay, so I tried to throw away my answers, and then I got railroaded by the fact that this movie is fantastic. So My shocked moment is the detail, because I thought it was a kid's film. I thought that it had a very limited universe. I thought that the art style looks janky, right? But upon viewing it multiple times, about talking about it with Jen and all of you, like, I'm thinking about all these tiny little details, these super quotable lines, I don't think we talked about it a great deal, but we did talk about how they do wireframing on certain parts of it. There are parts when we see inside of Unicron where it's all wire work to show his kind of like metaphysical like ability to create and destroy like quickly, you know? We are spoiled with computer graphics that make those types of lines perfect. And they are obviously not. So we're used to seeing those graphics being like super precise, and it's very obviously that they're not here. But thinking back on it, I was 3 years old when this came out. Like, this is amazing, gorgeous. Like, and there's, with the robots and everything, there's just so many precise lines and linear perspective that they're trying to follow. And yes, perspective gets super screwed up, but like, look at what they're doing. Like, they are showing so much different perspective, from the cute little fish scene at the beginning to like the giant proportions of the roboticized Unicron at the end compared to them, and like to be running around inside your enemy. It's just absolutely insane. So for that, I am shocked by the details. All right. So that is my shocked moment, because I didn't realize how incredibly detailed this movie is. My applaud moment is, you will notice, it's just more praise for this movie. And I'm sorry, I guess I should find something to demonize about it. But like, I wrote down originally Frank Welker for all of the work he did for the voice acting and just being like a all around outstanding performance. But then I was like, but I wouldn't want to dismiss Scatman Crothers, whose voice is like so iconic to me. And then I'm like, oh, and then you're just going to ignore Orson Welles. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I wouldn't. And then I was like, okay, so you, Orson Welles and Frank Welker, and you're going to talk about Scatman Crothers, but you're not going to acknowledge Leonard Nimoy in the room. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, and I'm going to talk about him too. And then, I mean, it just, as the list went on, I was like, I have got to applaud the cast. Because aside from the amazing animation and the writing, which is pretty spectacular, or at least edited together in a very compelling way, when it comes to animation, the thing that really does grab onto me, and I often do this to Jen, I'm like, isn't that voice belong to? And it's very pleasing when you're like, oh, it totally is, right? When you like, what, when you IMDb it for me or whatever. The cast, the voice cast will just, it tickles a part of my brain that I just find so delightful in this movie. Hits that square on the head. So if you are a voice acting junkie, then this is definitely a movie for you.
Agreed.
Ready for me?
Yes.
Well, we already know I can't say anything bad about this movie. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I will say the toys that came after this movie were subpar. Transformers was created out of existing toys in Japan, and somebody came along and said, I bet we could take these different toys and write a story around them. And they did. And in this movie, after they ended that first generation of toys, the ones that came out were made specifically by, I want to say, was it Hasbro? It wasn't Mattel, right? It was Hasbro?
It is Hasbro, yeah.
Hasbro be f***ing with my shit.
Also see the current D&D OGL controversy for more current events on how Hasbro is f***ing up Naomi's.
Yeah, so I remember playing with one of those some of those toys. I had Blur, and within the first 3 days that I had it, the tip of his car mode, which is also his shield, had a little, like a tiny little loop on it in order to connect to the rest of it. And you had to like snap that onto the rest of the body. And then within 3 days, that little loop had broken off, and there was no way to finish the car mode transformation for him anymore for those. And I, now looking back at like, especially Rodimus Prime, looks like something that a amateur clay artist would create. If you look at the toys now, they're just glamorous, and you can get some really, really, really detailed versions of those, partially because we have 3D printing now. But at the time, and I still remember those toys fondly, but at the time after this movie came out, when they transitioned to the next generation of toys, they weren't as good. they weren't as good quality, and they made the toys after the fact instead of getting inspiration from other, you know, toy creators in Japan. So that's my shocked, because I did have a really good experience in this movie, and then coming out of it into the rest of the Transformers world, I had some difficulty with it. And they would always change the times where I was for Saturday morning cartoons when they would come on, and I always missed it. So I never knew what the whole story was. So the positive for me, the applaud moment, is that this particular franchise, more than any other franchise, was a big part of my childhood. Like, I remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles being pretty big. G.I. Joe was sort of there, but not really. But this one in particular had this message that something can be more than it seems. Like, there can be something about your identity that is more than just what's presented. And just, I mean, by the fact that it is Transformers, it's just been a really big sort of part of my identity. And these are really non-gendered until they're like just viewed through the human perspective of gender characters. They don't have any, as far as we know, genitalia.
I can be Bumblebee?
You could totally be a Bumblebee. It would be a pink Bumblebee if you like pink.
I'll be a green Bumblebee.
Yeah. So there's this, what's really interesting to me about that experience of playing with these toys is that it can be two things at the same time. So in the same way, people could see me and get the experience of just, for some reason or another, experiencing me presenting as of the male sex, even though I am also presenting myself in the female gender. And I don't know, I would say that there's very few things in media that allowed me to help with my own identity, and this was one of the bigger ones. So just the whole franchise and the story and everything, Transformers as a whole has been a big part of my life.
I'm really glad you shared that with me.
And then
we got to like share. Look at Sean clapping in a theater for a Weird Al song he didn't even know existed. Well, maybe he knew it existed, but he didn't know where it was in the lexicon of experience. And then
yeah.
To bring, anytime I get to scream with Lydia at the screen,
yeah, it's so, always fun.
It's always a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems like it's about it. Applauders, you can check us out on. I'm going to say it, and then you say the call words. You can check us out on. Okay, we're still on a break from Twitter, so sorry about that. But if we were on Twitter, we'd be at
Shocked Applaud.
You can find us at Facebook
at Shocked and Applaud.
You can find us on all of your podcast providers, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I probably just said that. And if you could write us, leave us a review, we'll probably read it on a future episode. And we're on Podchaser, if you want to see how that all squigs out, it'd be pretty awesome. You can review us there. There's lots of fun little things to fiddle with there. And again, if you want to talk to us directly, I mean, we've literally only ever gotten like 3 emails. So go ahead and shoot us one at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com.
We are so small that any emails we get, whether they're positive, well, I mean, so long as they aren't like, you guys are the worst people ever. I mean, if it's constructive criticism that is made in good faith, then we will probably still read it.
I burped into the microphone, sir.
Shout out to our fan from Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
I love you, man.
I do. I hope you're still listening. Do you have any art stuff that you'd like to plug? You're still at Evil Kitty.
I'm still at evilkittystudios.com.
How do you spell that?
With an H. KITTEH.
Okay.
Kitty. I'm working on a book. I was thinking about a children's book called ABC D&D, and it was a ABC book based on D&D monsters from Aboleth to Zombie.
I would heavily invest in that.
Yes, that could be a Kickstarter, and it would get so much money.
It would be, except for the whole OGL stuff. So I've got to kind of put that on the sidebar right now. Thank you guys for understanding the OGL stuff. I hope you guys, I could spend like a whole podcast talking about that. But
yeah. Maybe we'll do that after the next D&D movie comes out, and we'll
yeah,
we can
Patreon exclusive. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. And so thank you for joining us on this lovely journey. We'll see you in March.
You made it all the way through February.
And I hope you got yourself a sweet little treat.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that could be a physically sweet treat, like a little piece of candy. It could be a sweet, like just good to your soul sort of situation this month.
Maybe a little peck on the cheek from someone that you have a crush on.
I'm not a kissing dinosaur.
I remember things. Yeah. You want to say anything to our plotters?
You're looking really pretty today.
Mm-hmm.
No. Until next
time. Jen's like, I will not be speaking directly to our applauders. Thank you so much.
She does at the end of every part.
You do. You do. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to minimize. Okay.
Until next time, this is Sean.
This is Naomi.
This is Jen.
And this is Lydia. And this has been Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Hey, applauders. I wanted to take a moment to thank you all for tuning into our recent film review of Transformers, the movie. It's always a pleasure to share our thoughts and insights on such a beloved and iconic piece of pop culture, and we couldn't be more grateful for your support. Your listenership is what makes our podcast possible, and we're honored that you've chosen to spend your time with us. We hope that our review provided you with a fresh perspective on the film, or perhaps sparked some nostalgic memories of your own. As always, we encourage you to continue engaging with us and sharing your feedback. We love hearing your thoughts and opinions, and it's your input that helps us grow and improve as a podcast. Once again, thank you for your continued support and for joining us on this cinematic journey. We look forward to sharing more film reviews and discussions with you in the future. From Shocked and Applaud, ChatGPT and Amazon Polly, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
Trans lovers roll out.
Transformers, robots in disguise. Transformers, change before, convert before your eyes.